On today's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, we share holiday festivities with two different poets. First will be Katie Porter. She's the editor of an online literary journal called Poemilion. We'll ask her about the pronunciation when I get her on the phone. She's the author of several poetry collections, including Seven Floors Up and the forthcoming chapbooks Almost Delicious, an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and What Desire Makes of Us, a series written during National Poetry Month in 2009, which will include illustrations by her sister. She's a Los Angeles-based poet and graduate student, and she'll be joining me in the first half of the program. And then, in the second half of the show, we will hear from Helen Loss, L-O-S-S-E. She's the author of Better With Friends from Rank Stranger Press, and two chapbooks, Gathering the Broken Pieces and Paper Snowflakes. She's also the poetry editor of the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature. Two great poets and occasional interruptions by World Christmas Tunes. And if we're lucky, I'll also leave time to read The Night Before Christmas by Clement Moore. Everything that you've come to expect from a holiday edition of a poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back with Katie Porter.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all of you listening. I hope that it is a stress-free and family-centric holiday for you. My first guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour is Katie Porter. Katie Porter is the editor of the online literary journal Poemilion, which you can find at poemilion.org, P-O-E-M-E-L-E-O-N, Poemilion. And she's the author of several poetry collections, including Seven Floors Up and the forthcoming chapbooks Almost Delicious, an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and What Desire Makes of Us, a series written during National Poetry Month in 2009. That particular book will include illustrations by Katie Porter's sister, Amy Payne. Katie Porter's poems, reviews, and interviews can be found in recent issues of Smartish Pace, Umbrella Journal, Wicked Alice, and Crab Creek Review. You can also visit her website at katieporter.com, that's C-A-T-I, Porter.com. Katie Porter, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Absolutely. I'm glad that this time worked out for you. Well, I'm really interested in the work that you're doing with Poemillion. I'm wondering if, for people, listeners who haven't yet encountered your online literary journal, if you could tell us a little bit more about it and what you see as its overall goal or intention.
Well, I founded Poemillion in December of 2005. We put out two issues per year. Each issue focuses on a particular theme, generally something that I happen to be interested in, which has included topics like ekphrastic poetry, poems in form, prose poems, persona poems, and humor and gender. And our forthcoming issue will be on collaborative works. And
excellent. So that's one where you've probably already collected all of the poems that will appear in that issue?
We are actually accepting poems up and interviews and reviews up until December 31st. So you just have a few more days.
A few more days for collaborative work.
Mm-hmm.
And is this work between two poets, or it can be about two poets or about two characters? Or what? How might we interpret collaborative work?
It's between a poet and another poet, or a poet and an artist. I also have a poet and another spoken word artist in there. It's a performance piece. It's very open to interpretation. Anything that is involving poetry and is a collaboration between two or more, either poets or artists or other mediums, I'm willing to consider.
Excellent. Now, I know that you're based in the Los Angeles area. Do you get mostly people submitting to Poemillion from the L.A. area, or because it's an online journal, do you hear from people around the country and around the world?
Around the country, around the world. I've published works by poets from South Africa and Austria and England. Thailand? No, Korea. I think this fellow's in Korea. It's various. It's not just local. It's certainly, because it's online, we have a large readership that can reach a much larger audience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what do you see as the relationship, if any, between Poemillion and the Los Angeles poetry scene, whether it be other journals or readings or slam performances that that you or other poets who have been published in Poemillion have participated in?
Well, I do host an annual reading series, and I have had our readings at the West Hollywood Book Fair, also at the Riverside Art Museum, the University of California Riverside's Sweeney Art Museum. I like to have something local where we can showcase those writers who do live in the region. And even for those readings, I've had authors come in from other parts of the country. I had someone fly in from Montana to participate. But I want to be able to showcase those artists specifically who can make it to the local readings.
Excellent. If you're just joining us, Katie Porter is my guest, and she's the editor of the online literary journal Poemillion. She's based in Los Angeles, but she gets contributors from all around the world. One last question on that. Because it's an online journal, Do you feel that you've got more leeway to accept a whole lot of excellent work in the way that you wouldn't be able to if you were, say, running a print-only journal? Or do you have certain, for instance, length parameters that you always heed to when deciding what gets into the journal?
Are you talking volume of, you know, like the number of contributors or the length of the individual works?
Probably either or the number of works that you might be able to accept because of the unlimited bandwidth, for instance.
Well, I have found I love the fact that there is no limitation on length restrictions or volume, and I do generally accept only the best works that come through, but I have somewhere between 35 and 40 contributors per issue. I think if, and that's sort of on the high side, I think, for online literary journals.
That makes sense. Great. Well, so Katie Porter, tell me about more about your own work. I'm interested in the relationship between your own arc as in terms of being a poet and your poetic output, your relationship between that and Poemillion. When did you get started as a writer, and to what do you attribute your productivity as a poet?
Well, I sort of, and it's a cliche statement, but I sort of feel like I've always been a writer. I've written in various forms and formats all my life, from the time I could write.
Right.
But I think I really started getting serious about it when I was pregnant with my first son. And it was shortly after he was born that I started publishing more. And even though it took some time, about 8 years or so, the majority of that work is what is in my first collection that came out in 2008, Seven Floors Up.
Great. Well, I think people at home would love to hear an example of your work. Do you have something nearby that you could share with us?
Sure. I will read you. This is one that I happen to like. It was written after my husband was searching eBay for a business opportunity, and this was an item that he ran across. It's called Inflatable Church. Let us swoon before it as it rises, shucking its folds, flexing its muscled walls as it fills with electrified breath, man-made materials thick as any skin, stinking of raw vinyl freshly unboxed, unbreathable. We hold our breath as the thing unfolds, rises before our eyes like a 47-foot long by 47-foot high inflatable baby pool. It creaks and crackles as layers peel away from layers. Run a finger along the vinyl walls, vinyl steeple, and it will squeak like any sinner fresh from the confessional. Here in inflatable heaven, entrepreneur marries the divine, resplendent with an inflatable gold cross, inflatable altar, inflatable pulpit, inflatable nave, inflatable pews, inflatable candles lit in perpetuity. Inflatable double door entry flanked by a host of inflatable angels. Brilliant stained glass plastic windows airbrushed on. Take the church to your congregation, the ad reads. Perfect for revivals, baptisms, weddings. The inflatable church also makes an ideal space to hold a funeral, replete with an extremely light, inflatable casket. Inflated with helium, your loved one ascends as they ascend. Get yours today, they proclaim, for only $35,950. At $3,300 a day rental, it would pay for itself in no time. Fully inflated, the church looms, diminishing the sky. Its pinnacled spires pointing up, 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 up. Imagine stepping inside the church, caressing its heavenly inflated walls, and with one slash, bringing the damned thing down.
It's an appropriate poem to share at a time when so many churches are putting up temporary nativity scenes that they keep socked away in a church basement or storage facility. And it sounds like the inflatable church just takes that idea one step further.
Yes.
That's marvelous. So in terms of that particular poem, it seems to me accessible as well as witty and interesting and offbeat, but a kind of a reflective thread to it that can be pretty easily followed. Would you say that that's somewhat typical for the poems that one finds in your books?
I would say so, yes.
And who are some of the poets, whether their influence can be seen in your work or not, who are some poets who have been very important to you?
Well, I am an admitted Plathophile. You know, I love Sylvia Plath.
Sure.
I also, contemporary poets, I love and admire the work of Beth Ann Fennelly, and she's an amazing poet based in Oxford, Mississippi. And if you don't know her work, it's darn good, and you should check it out.
How do you spell her last name?
Fennelly.
All right. I'll look for her. Mm-hmm. Out of Oxford, Mississippi.
Oxford, Mississippi.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And your website, katieporter.com, because this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDBS, I should ask, how do you present yourself with that particular website? And is it mostly through, do you mostly present yourself as a poet, or do you try to include other projects and maybe your kids in your life as well?
No, the website is devoted specifically to my life as a poet and an editor, but primarily my personal poetry. I have a blog as well, which mixes more of it's poetry, creative, and poetry, motherhood, and other creative endeavors is my tagline for the blog, which is on WordPress.
Excellent.
And that's where it all gets kind of mixed up. And of course, you know, between having a life as a mother and a life as an editor and a life as a poet, and I'm also trying to finish up my MFA. There's so much overlap between all these various components of myself. So, but the website itself is devoted to, it has a page for each of the books. It has an events page for upcoming and recent events. 'Cause I try and keep busy with readings.
Excellent.
A list of publications.
In terms of your publications, I know it's standard to link to something when it's been published by an online or paper journal. Are there times, though, as when you are writing a great number of poems, as you did this last poetry month, when you really feel like you'd love to share something on your blog, but you might have... you might hesitate because you might be concerned about having it be a, quote, published poem before you send it off to a journal or maybe to be considered by a contest judge?
Well, as an editor and as a poet, I know both sides of that fence. As an editor for Poemillion, I do consider anything that's published on a blog, previously published.
Right.
However, I myself have published poems on my blog. It's generally speaking, like during National Poetry Month, I wrote each of the poems in this upcoming chapbook, a poem a day, sometimes more, and they were posted to my blog, First Drafts, and to the Poetic Asides, the Writer's Digest blog's Poetic Asides blog.
Right.
And it was just an ongoing project. And I also, I published them with the understanding that it might mean that I could not publish it in another journal at some later stage, but it was with open eyes that I did that.
And worth it to you. Now you've got enough work after a month's hard poetry labor for another chapbook.
Yeah, and actually I'm really excited because this one is going to be published as an e-book through Aha Dada Books.
Uh-huh.
And with illustrations by my sister, which should, doing it online actually provides, we can include more illustrations than if it were published in book form.
Because especially color illustrations can be expensive in book form.
Mm-hmm. And because the poems are already available online, this is a way for me to collect them and have them available as a complete unit for download and finished versions. And, you know, Aha Dada produces some pretty interesting books.
Excellent.
Catherine Daly curates their chapbook series. She's an L.A. poet.
And can we find out more about that at your website, katieporter.com?
Well, it's very new, so it's not up yet, but soon.
All right.
And, yep, look for more information coming probably in the early new year.
All right, will do. Well, Katie Porter, thanks so much for telling us about your online literary journal, Poemillion, at poemillion.org, and about your upcoming book projects. I really enjoyed your poem, and I hope that you enjoy the holiday season with your family.
Great. Thank you, and you as well. And thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. We've just been hearing from Katie Porter. She's the author of a number of books, including the forthcoming chapbooks, Almost Delicious, which is an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and also What Desire Makes of Us, which we are just discussing, a series written during National Poetry Month with illustrations by her sister, Amy Payne. Find out more about her at katieporter.com, C-A-T-I, and the last name, Porter. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. This is our holiday show, and I'm featuring interviews with a couple poets whose work I admire. A little bit more international Christmas music, and then we'll be back with more on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Now, ladies and gentlemen, something entirely different. Thought I'd share with you a Christmas poem that is older than most of Shakespeare's plays. It's written by Robert Suttle, spelled S-O-U-T-H-W-E-L-L, Robert Suttle. A poem called The Burning Babe. It's from his book St. Peter's Complaint, a book published in 1595, one of the oldest works that I've shared on this radio show in its almost 9-year history. The Burning Babe by Robert Suttle. As I in hoary winter's night stood shivering in the snow, surprised I was with sudden heat, which made my heart to glow. And lifting up a fearful eye to view what fire was near, a pretty babe all burning bright did in the air appear, who scorched with excessive heat, such floods of tears did shed, as though his floods should quench his flames, which with his tears were fed. Alas, quoth he, but newly born in fiery heats I fry, yet none approach to warm their hearts or feel my fire but I. My faultless breast the furnace is, the fuel wounding thorns. Love is the fire, and sighs the smoke, the ashes, shame and scorns. The fuel justice layeth on, and mercy blows the coals. The metal in this furnace wrought are men's defiled souls, for which is now on fire I am to work them to their good. So will I melt into a bath to wash them in my blood. With this he vanished out of sight and swiftly shrunk away, and straight I called unto mind that it was Christmas Day.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Say, mighty cootie, bum bum, knew I walk another Lord have mercy when the morning come now.
Here I am. Here I
tell morning now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're listening to John Scofield and the Wild Magnolias with the traditional song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. This is from the World Christmas CD. One of the tens of thousands of CDs available down here at KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis, where we also have the second largest collection of vinyl in the state of California. My next guest this afternoon is Helen Lossie. Helen Lossie is the author of Better With Friends from Rank Strangers Press, 2009, and two chapbooks, Gathering the Broken Pieces and Paper Snowflakes. She's the poetry editor of the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature. Her recent poetry publications and acceptances include Iodine Poetry Review, Heavy Bear, Hubble Creek Review, The Wild Goose Review, and Blue Fifth Review. Her poems also appear in the anthologies In the Arms of Words, Poems for Disaster Relief, and Washing the Color of Water Golden, a Hurricane Katrina anthology. Educated at Missouri Southern State and Wake Forest Universities, Helen Lossie majored in and later taught English in private schools in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then, 25 years later, she returned to school at Wake Forest University, where she studied creative writing and African American history while earning a Master's of Arts in Liberal Studies. She lives with her husband in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I'm very pleased that she could join me on the live line this afternoon. Helen Lossie, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate the offer to come on your show.
Absolutely. Well, it's a delight to have you here. You've done some really interesting work with a balance of books, lots of publications and journals, and then also your own work as poetry editor of the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature. I'm going to start with that because many people here in Davis, California, might not have heard of the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that title and what that is.
Well, the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature began as a print publication from the North Carolina Arts Center, and it only lasted one issue that way, and then it went to the Internet. It has been published for about 14 years now, and I've been with it for, three or four as poetry editor.
Excellent. And in terms of your duties as poetry editor, do you read every poem that comes in? Do you have interns and assistant editors who screen some things before you see them? What are your responsibilities and pleasures with that particular position?
I read all the poems that come in, and we try to be a very inclusive community. We consider ourselves a family, and anyone who's published with us becomes part of our big Southern family.
Wonderful. Do you have mostly local and Southern authors who submit to the journal?
Most of our authors are Southern. We do not publish standard bios, but we publish Southern legitimacy statements in which a writer or poet justifies why he or she should be considered a Southern writer.
I see.
Now, there were no right and wrong answers, but we want people who actually like the South.
Sure. So the fact that I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., do you think that that I could qualify?
Why, sure.
All right. I'll keep that in mind as I'm looking for places for my poems. And I've got a few that I've written, especially recently, that are set in the South. So
that would be great. We'll look forward to seeing those poems.
Excellent. Well, there's the invitation that that I need. In terms of your own work as a poet, how do you decide who you're going to send your poems off to, and how do you keep track of it all?
Well, I keep track of it in a document on my computer, just a Word document, and I keep track of what I send and when. I know a lot of magazines accept simultaneous submissions, but I do very few myself because they're just too nerve-wracking. It's too difficult to keep up with it.
Right.
And I don't need to make somebody mad. I need all the friends I can get.
I'm sure, and it sounds like with all the places that you've published and the seriousness with which you take your craft, you're probably productive enough that you could, you've got enough poems to send out without worrying too much about the simultaneity of it all.
Well, I don't consider myself an extremely prolific writer. I've been writing poems and publishing since 1997, and I've written a number of poems and had a number of poems published over that time, but I'm not one of these people who cranks out three in an afternoon kind of stuff.
Right. Well, we've talked about them, and I'm sure people at home are curious to hear one if you're just joining us. Helen Lossie is my guest. She's the author of a number of works, including the book Better with Friends from Rank Stranger Press, and she also has two chapbooks out, Gathering the Broken Pieces and Paper Snowflakes. She's the poetry editor of the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature. Helen Lossie, do you have a poem there that you can share with us?
I do. This is a poem called Empathic Depression. It is from my book, Better with Friends. I thought it was appropriate to read a poem about depression at this time of year. There are a lot of people who, during the holidays, when everyone seems to be having a good time, find themselves lonely and depressed. And I'm not one of those people, but I do have friends who are, and I want to read this, Empathic Depression. My sadness has stolen the beauty from the spectrum, left ashes in its stead, dark blackberry brambles, poison mushrooms, choke cherries. Outside my window, a bird is singing. Her sound reverberates in the springtime air, blossoms thrive like grace notes crowned with fermatas. The room rocks with azure light. A double rainbow comes pouring in, and still all the world offers me is brown.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
I like the way that often a poem that explores depression, a poet will often feel compelled to offer some sort of addendum to point out the silver lining around a dark cloud. But you don't go there. I like the way that you present it as it is and end on a similar note that we find throughout the poem.
Thank you. I tried to put myself in the place of a person who does struggle with depression, and I think that person doesn't see that silver lining.
I think you're right.
Sometimes that person is rather annoyed if we insist it's there.
And especially as you were saying before, at Christmas time, the loss of family members who might have died that year or in years past is that loss is felt all the more acutely.
Yes. Very difficult.
And especially a time that focuses so explicitly on family. So when there are important family members that can't be celebrated or communed with, then it makes the holiday that much more difficult. But I love the title of your book, Better with Friends. It's a little bit on this theme as well. Was that the title of one of your poems?
It is the title of one of my poems. And if my one hand will work, if it's not holding the phone,
I'll stall for you while you're you're doing that.
I might find. Well, I might just look what page it's on.
And while Helen Lossie is finding the appropriate page, I'll remind folks at home that this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. This is the holiday edition of this program, and I wanted to let you know that coming up next, at 6 o'clock will be Maggie Cat plus Chris Kilimanjaro. So great music, as always, is in store for your late afternoon and evening here on KDVS, your local independent campus and community radio station. All right. Did you find the poem you were looking for?
I did find the poem.
Great.
Better with Friends. Better with Friends is a memorial poem in memory of Paul Terenzia, a friend of ours. Just as the book was going to press, I realized I was going to call the book Prayer in the Fog. But just as the book was going to press, we found out that Paul had cancer, and we also searched for a picture for the cover of the book, and we realized that we had a perfect picture for the cover, and it went along with this poem, and it just made sense to switch the title to Better with Friends.
Wonderful.
With Friends.
Let's hear it.
Yesterday, three friends sat in folding chairs in front of their cars waiting for trains. So naturally this morning, as the fog bears down once again on the tree line at the back of the yard, I'm seeking that perfect phrase, as if memory weren't powerful enough for the capture. A few evergreens and rhododendron for hope grow on the side of a hill with the orange of the berries of the holly. The train obediently sounded its whistle, while diesel smoke rose, drifting above the blue conrail, starting where a road crosses the track and a sign says Dendron, blowing back toward the east, darkening a small part of the sky like a rain cloud. We watched the engineer wave as, even in January, we came prepared with blankets for our legs. Our radios talked and cameras clicked. The train chugged up the Blue Ridge. The mountain, leaf brown, washed out. Winter lovely.
What a winter lovely poem that is. Very nice.
Thank you.
Better with Friends, that's the title poem from a book from Rank Stranger Press, a 2009 book by my guest, Helen Lossie. Well, Helen, that was delightful, and I think an excellent way to conclude our chat this afternoon. I look forward to hearing more about your work and your books and chapbooks, and I'm going to go look you up now on the Dead Mule School of Southern Literature. I've got a couple poems as we've been talking that I think might at least be worth a look. Is there a website that I should look for?
It's deadmule.com.
Deadmule.com.
For the Dead Mule.
Excellent. I'll look for that. Helen Lossie, it's been a delight to speak with you this holiday season. Thanks so much for joining me on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Andy.
Sure.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, this is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Stick around because I've got another holiday poem for you after this. I'm Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Each year, more than 30,000 people are diagnosed with life-threatening blood diseases like aplastic anemia and multiple myeloma. A marrow transplant may be the only way to save a life, and you could be the one that helps save it. To help many patients in need, join the National Marrow Donor Program. If you are interested in the National Marrow Donor Program or would like to donate a blood sample, call 1-800-995-4420, extension 302, or try visiting www.marrow.org.
Valley Rubber and Gasket reminds us all that holidays come and go, but the need for a safe and secure blood supply is always with us. If you are healthy and qualified, do your part and donate blood. You protect not only yourself and your family, but the community as well. So donate blood at the hospital or blood bank of your choice. This message is brought to you by Valley Rubber and Gasket in Sacramento, an employee-owned company. You may reach them at 916-369-8885. They're on the air wishing everyone a safe and happy holiday season. At the dinner table last night, I was reading a few winter poems to the four children assembled there. And just as I was concluding, I hear from my four-year-old Truman, "Daddy, read us 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.'" You know, the one that goes, "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse," and he continued for 12 lines. I'm not sure which of our babysitters I need to thank for reading this to Truman and implanting these words in his head. How delightful for someone in my business to discover that even if most of the words that he was saying could not quite be deciphered by people outside the family, we all were impressed that he knew all these poems, all these lines, rather, of this famous poem. And therefore, for Truman, for the holiday, and for all of you on Christmas Eve Eve, I'm now going to share with you my interpretation of the poem that's responsible for creating Santa Claus as we know him, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," which is what it's called on this website, carols.org.uk/'twasthenightbeforechristmas.htm. But I think the actual title, if memory serves, is "A Visit from St. Nicholas" by Clement Moore. I should have considered some music that would be appropriate in the background as I share this with you. So let's now try this one. Louis Belson's "Little Drummer Boy." I just hope there are no vocals. "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Legend has it that before this important poem was published, we never associated Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas with reindeer or a sleigh. W.H. Auden once said that poetry accomplishes nothing, but this poem by Clement Clark Moore, who lived from 1779, born just about the time our country was, to 1863. He wrote this poem in 1822. As I mentioned at the top, it is all but defined who we know today to be Santa Claus. Hope this poem has brought you some pleasure and enhanced your joyous spirit as you begin the Christmas season in earnest. One more message, and then I'll be back with the conclusion of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS.
Each year, more than 30,000 people are diagnosed with life-threatening blood diseases like aplastic anemia and multiple myeloma. A marrow transplant may be the only way to save a life, and you could be the one that helps save it. To help many patients in need, join the National Marrow Donor Program. If you are interested in the National Marrow Donor Program or would like to donate a blood sample, Call 1-800-995-4420 extension 302 or try visiting www.mero.org.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank my guests who came on today's show. They included Katie Porter, who you can find at katieporter.com. She spells Katie, C-A-T-I. She is a graduate student and poet living in Los Angeles and is doing a lot of important work at the journal poemillion.org. And also Helen Lossie, who we heard from in the second half of the program, a Winston-Salem, North Carolina-based poet who is doing some very important work, gathering together Southern poets and poetry with her particular journal. If you want to find out more about either one of these poets, I found them on Facebook. You can find me there, Andy Jones Poet, poetryindavis.com, on Twitter at poetryindavis, and Andy O. Jones. I'd like to remind you that Maggie Cat and Chris Kilimanjaro are coming up next with some great music, so stick around for that. I'd like to thank all of you for listening, taking a little bit out of your Christmas season to share it with me here at KWS. The end of December also marks, coming up, the 9th anniversary of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'll do something special on that on next week's show. Happy holidays to all of you. Stick around for some great music. And next week on KWS, I'll be back for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Merry Christmas.